morning. Welcome to Trespassing Aloud. John M. Schrader here. And today I want to give you one quick reason why you may someday want to own your own business. And then I'm going to give you a detailed reason on what you better do first before your business gets away from you. Why do you want to own your own business? Why do you want to go through the headaches, the hassles? Why do you want to do all those things in owning your own business? Because I can promise you this, it will be one of the most empowering, one of the most exciting, at times frustrating, but every single day you own your own business, you're in charge of yourself. You get to make every single decision. You do not have to answer to a manager. You do not have to answer to a boss. You do not have to spend 8 or 10 or 12 hours of your day letting someone else tell you what to do. I don't care where you are in the stratosphere of the business that you don't own, you are going to have to do what someone tells you to do, or you have to find another job. I don't want to get into politics, but one of the things I felt so sorry for her about was I think that she would have answered the question differently had she not had a whole bunch of people over her in a deep, dark cave somewhere saying, hey, it's okay. Tell us what would have you done differently in the last 4 years that Joe didn't do. I'm sure she had a few things she would have done differently if she didn't have people above her, around her, over her saying, now Kamala, you have to say it this way. I'll move on. So yeah, today I did the walk, which I'll share a lot of time with you in the future on what is the walk. But again, you know, 6 axes, 5 golf balls, a trip around memory lane, thousands and thousands of tons of stone, a couple pieces of synthetic turf. We took the walk. But on my walk, because I was able to take the walk, because for many, many years I owned my own business, the walk is a great way for me to decide what is it I'm going to talk about today. At some point in my walk, something comes into my mind, and I then can decide exactly what will the podcast be about. As you know, I promised you that if you want to start your own business, I'm going to be the person to help you along the way and give you 64 years of advice on what I think is important. So as I'm doing my walk today, a certain individual's name came to mind. And when it came to mind, it made me realize that I don't care if you just started a business last week and you have no idea where you're going to go, or you've had a business for 10 or 20 years and you're still struggling with certain parts of it. Today, I want to tell you about a gentleman by the name of Jeff Helfrich. Jeffrey Helfrich, Mr. Helfrich, it doesn't matter. Mr. Helfrich has been my attorney and my very, very good friend for, gosh, most of my life. I think we got to know each other when we were in the 4th grade. He was wrestling for Resurrection. I was wrestling for Sacred Heart. And yes, Mr. Helfrich and I became friends. Interestingly enough, when you hear me talk about this mowing business that turned into a landscape business, that turned into an aquatics business, that turned into a turf business, that turned into a designing golf course business, Mr. Helfrich was actually the one who got me involved with this company where I got to mow one day a week with him at Woodland Condominiums that had and housed the most successful businessman in the city of Evansville. So yes, in a very strange way, I'm here today because Mr. Helfrich asked me on Wednesdays to come help him mow Woodland Condominiums. Mr. Helfrich realized that he probably wasn't going to be just a mowing kind of guy like I would be. He realized early that he was pretty smart. I think he was valedictorian of modern day of the class of 1978. He was also a very good athlete, a very good wrestler. Yes, he and I wrestled a lot together through our grade school and high school years, so great respect there. He knew what it was like to get on the mat and have a 2.5 hour practice and, you know, all that good stuff. But when Mr. Helfrich became an attorney, it was super, super easy for me to decide that if I need an attorney, and I did, I knew who it would be. No question. Mr. Helfrich of Kahn, Dees, Zonneman & Kahn, and he's been there a long time, was the guy that I knew was going to help me along the way. I wasn't even sure initially exactly how he was going to do it. There's a lot of different types of attorneys out there, but he was the kind of attorney that if you're a businessman, you would love to have. Mr. Helfrich knew me pretty well. Mr. Helfrich knew that as a modern-day wildcat, I could be a wildcat. He knew that I trusted people. He knew that I liked people. He also knew that there was nothing in the world I wouldn't try. He also knew that I was the kind of person that would reach for the stars every chance I got. And one way or the other, Mr. Helfrich knew me very well. And that helped a lot. He knew me well enough that in all the different things I would do in my life, he needed to give me a very simple sentence that would probably save my life, my marriage, my business, and a whole lot of other things. And he found the perfect sentence, and I will share that with you today. See, when you're in business, it's not always about all the checks you're going to receive, okay? You're going to maybe make hundreds of thousands or millions or billions of dollars, right? And when you're making that kind of money, yes, you like those checks to come in. Mr. Helfrich says that it's not about the checks coming in as much as it is sometimes about the checks going out. If I make $1 billion a year income, but I am spending $1.1 billion a year in expenses, how long am I going to be in business? If I am constantly making decisions and deciding on things that will, I think, make me money, but instead cost me money, I don't care how many checks I get in if I can't control the checks going out. Time and time and time again, I saw business owners that were doing well in making money, but they weren't always doing well on spending money. When one of the major airlines went out of business a number of years ago, and you heard that they were making $285 billion a year, but it was costing them $294 billion a year to get people from point A to point B. It didn't last very long. But Jeff knew something about me that he knew darn good and well. As a good old wrestler, I would understand one thing. He knew I would understand a simple sentence. And this was the sentence. John, every time you're in that moment in the room and they're all standing around you and they're saying to you, just sign the dotted line, tell them this. Guys, I would, but my attorney will kick my if I sign this document before he looks over it. Now, you know I like to sing, and quite honestly, when he told me that the first time, he didn't quite say it that way, but I felt like at this point I needed to get your attention. In his words, you tell them that your attorney will kick your ass if you sign this before he reads it. That's a pretty good line. I didn't realize when he gave that line to me that over the course of 35 years, hundreds of opportunities would arise that right before I took the pen and signed the line, I thought of that. Multiple times, the guy standing behind me in the suits with the ties, John, just sign that, all will be okay. I could say, you know, stop, wait. Guys, honestly, I feel like everything you're telling me is correct and everything seems right, but you know, I've got a friend of mine, he will kick my arse if I sign this. I remember seeing in their faces this stress, this, oh, John, come on, it doesn't matter. It's all right there. You can read through it. That sentence, and I'm pretty sure today Mr. Helfrich and I can give you the same sentence. I hope I don't have to give him like necessarily referrals, or he's in a position right now that he's actually taking less clients than more clients. But that sentence helped me out in so many situations because it was so simple. Sure enough, yep, hey, I'd take that contract and I would send it to him, you know, and even though I kind of thought I understood what this whole deal was about, whatever this group of us were putting together, whatever this idea that I thought was going to either make me a lot of money or put me on a nice path to a very expensive yacht someday. Because, you know, a good attorney, if he's doing a good job, he might just get you a big yacht someday, right? You know, you see, it wasn't the amount of money I was making. It was about the amount of money I was saving by not doing stupid things. When Jeff would call me a few days later, hey, by the way, on page 27, paragraph 4, line B, do you know what that means? Do you understand that? Do you know what you're signing here? There's 27 pages in this contract? Wow, I didn't realize there was that many pages. It was interesting in one occasion where I had him write the contract, and he wrote the contract so well, I could tell that when the person I sent the contract to agreed with everything, he obviously never showed his attorney our contract, because years later, I got a great story on all the things I got because his attorney never read his contract. When my attorney would write my contract, when Mr. Helfrich would put everything in there and, you know, cross the T's, dot the I's, I could tell some of the business people I was working with, they didn't send it to their attorney. And for that, I got lots and lots of things. You know, people complain that, you know, John, I struggle with my attorney because sometimes he will charge me $200, $300, $400 an hour. That is ridiculous. He's just sitting there and he's making $300 or $400, $500 an hour. If my attorney can save me $200,000 or $300,000 by reading over this contract, by writing this contract, I think he's worth $300 or $400, $500 an hour. If in fact he can save me hundreds of thousands of dollars in the future because I did something wrong. Let me say that again. If I'm paying my attorney $200 or $300 or $400 an hour, but he is saving me potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars in the future because I didn't have him read over my contract, I think he is worth that. In the 35 years of my business, here was what I really liked not getting in the mail. very seldom, if ever, did I ever get that letter in the mail from somebody else's attorney or somebody else's business associate that I had to suddenly pay money for something because I didn't read fine print in the contract. Here's what Mr. Helfrich knew about Mr. Schrader. Mr. Schrader could go on for an hour. He could go on for 30 or 40,000 words because he likes to talk a lot. Chief talk a lot, we've talked about. I could spend a whole hour and a half, 2 hours with Mr. Helfrich, and let's see, I could talk and talk and talk and talk, and he would listen and listen and continue to listen and pretend that he was interested in listening and all that. But in the end, he would have about 8 or 10 sentences and we would move on. A good attorney for you will be priceless. Because if you're planning on having a multi-million dollar or multi-billion dollar business someday, or maybe you just want to have $1 million a year business with a few employees, you're going to be a happy businessman because you're not going to be hit with all the surprises. You're going to be a successful businessman because somebody is reading over your shoulder the stuff that you bypass after page 2. You know how you get that contract, you know, on that first few pages, you know, and you're reading it and the numbers sound right, you know, and all of it makes sense. That's not what's going to get you in trouble. It's page 27, paragraph 4. That you didn't read over, that somebody took the time to do. Because that 27, paragraph 4, line 5B or whatever, that's the thing that kind of snuck in there that you may not even realize for a couple years that it might come back to bite you. John, you tell them when you have nothing else to say, that I will kick your butt if you sign it. And I used to piss off so many individuals in their suits when they were this close to getting me to sign something that I really thought all made sense. I really thought this is a great idea. What could possibly go wrong with this contract? Now, real quick, side note, asterisk, I am not telling you that for the rest of your life, every time you want to sign something, you have to call your attorney. If you want to go zip lining in Puerto Rico and there's a 1 mile zip line that will take you 60 miles an hour and you can fly like Batman, okay, sign the contract. You don't have to call your attorney about that. If you want to go swimming with whale sharks, okay, and there is a contract that says if you get eaten by the whale shark, they aren't responsible for you getting eaten. You don't call your attorney. Just stay out of the mouth of the whale shark, okay? You want to ride level 5 rapids, you know, on one of the great rivers in America, and they want you to sign a contract that says they're not responsible, that if you fall out of the raft and you get sucked into a hydraulic and you drown, that there, you know, there's a lot of things. No, personally, you don't have to call your attorney every day. If you do, he'll probably like it and you'll get really pissed off at the money you're sending him. I'm talking about all of the contracts that you're going to sign in your business. Because right now you're starting that business and you're like, you know what, I've got to spend money on this and this, and I need a new chainsaw, you know, I need a new lawnmower, I need some kind of new tool that will get my drywall to look really good, blah, blah, blah. You're going to come up with 100 different reasons why you don't want to talk to an attorney today because you're just too darn busy. I don't have time to talk to the attorney. I don't want to go into his office. Do I have to dress up to go into his office? Why? Get yourself an attorney now. This week, find the attorney. You know, my business was getting more and more successful and money was coming in the way I wanted it to be. You know, all these people said, gosh, John must be making money because his business is growing down there on First Avenue and St. Joe, and he's doing this and doing that. Suddenly, I had all these friends that wanted me to invest with them, right? One of the smart things I'm going to tell you today is that if you have $50,000 to invest in something, why don't you take 10% of that, $5,000, throw it out there. If you've got $50,000, you know what? You're going to have a lot more fun maybe finding 10 different little things. Throw a $5,000 here, $5,000 there, $5,000 there, right? Here's a good example of the one time I can remember not following Mr. Helfrich's lead. I was going to get in the oil business. Some people who knew that my mowing company was growing and growing into a landscape company, hey, let's go to this seminar tonight. There's a company, we're going to call them Dumb Oil, D-U-M-B, Dumb Oil Company. We might be able to invest in an oil company. You know, me, I love the Hillbillies, you know, Beverly Hillbillies, Jed Clampett. Look what he got, you know, he was in the oil business. Everybody was making money in oil, right? Sure enough, wow, they told us just how much money we could make. They were going to be setting up these oil wells around southern Indiana and southern Illinois. And, you know, for this much money, you could someday own your own yacht. Oh, my gosh. Imagine if I could go home to my wife and honey, for Christmas, I'm going to buy you $100 million yacht. Now, this was probably back in the 80s and 90s, but to buy Tammy a yacht, oh my God, wouldn't that be, she would be so happy, because up until then she was, you know, getting kind of small stuff, not even jewelry, because she has her own jeweler, but starting off at $5,000, $10,000, $50,000, $100,000, hey, you sign the check, you sign this, you are going to be a rich man. Gosh, everything was working well, why not? I didn't think I needed to take this to Mr. Helfrich. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be like Jed Clampett. Have my own yacht. $5,000? Okay, I'll tell you what. $5,000, it's not that much money. No, really, it is a lot of money. But back then, it wasn't a lot of money. But so for $5,040, guess how many boats I bought? What's the $40, John? The $40 was after I wasn't receiving the checks from the Dumb Oil Company the way I thought I would. Well, because I own my own business, I just kind of drove out one day to one of the places they were putting in one of the oil wells. You know, those things that go up and down real slow, and they're just kind of pulling. Got to go out, got to meet the crew, got to learn what it takes to make an oil well work. I didn't necessarily get to stay around long enough to build my own oil well. If I did, I could have just eventually put one on my own piece of property. But the bottom line was the $40 additional was in gas and a little bit of time to go out and at least realize that Dumb Oil Company was dumb. They were a company. They were putting in things. Here's the good news. The good news of that moment was I didn't put $50,000 into this oil company. The good news is they were an actual oil company. I've yet to get those checks in. I'm still waiting. You know, I am a patient man. After 35, 40 years, I'm sure those checks are going to start coming in any day now. Had I spent $50,000 on that oil exploration, I wouldn't have been able to own the bar, the tavern, the restaurant. I wouldn't have been able to play with all those other $5,000 to $50,000 deals that were out there. All those things that created amazing stories, which I get to tell you. But it was a pretty good example of, had I said to them, my attorney would kick my behind if I sign this before, because I'm pretty sure of this. They said that night, no, you had to write the check tonight. I am pretty sure that if I said, can I sign this on Thursday, I bet they would have let me. They had a whole bunch of reasons on why I had to sign the check and the contract that night. Funny, okay? The one time I think I can remember in my entire life that I did not, to this day, I don't think he's kicked my butt yet. Maybe I haven't told him the story until now. Having an attorney for your business, in my opinion, is probably the top two or three most important things you need to do, and you need to do early. You are not necessarily going to find the right attorney the first time. You know, there's a fiduciary. They talk about the fiduciary in investing. Fiduciaries are there to try to help you, you know, earn money on your investments. In my opinion, a good attorney is really your fiduciary for your life. Mr. Helfrich, time and time and time again, would listen to me, and he would just be the wisest person in the room. Another example of Mr. Helfrich's wisdom. A lot of people were hearing kind of through the grapevine about this silly little golf course, this private exclusivity golf course. You never knew what John was going to come up with next. Okay, let's see. He had a Viking funeral a couple years ago. He lit the ship on fire, destroyed it with a trebuchet. You know, he pulled off some crazy, amazing reverse surprise birthday party when he was 30. The thing with John that people started to realize is nothing surprised them anymore. If he said he was going to do it, and then he repeated it over the course of the next year, most likely John was going to do it. Okay? Win, lose, or draw. He was kind of one of these honest Abe guys that, you know, if he said he's going to do something, he would probably do it, no matter how crazy it sounded. But one of the things people always questioned was, how often does he fail at what he does? Not that he doesn't fail. He does. There are times in his life where, no, that's why self-deprecation is a big part of this podcast, because I'm going to tell you about the things. Just, okay, we just talked about the $5,040 that he's still waiting for checks to come in. Here's how smart Mr. Helfrich was and is. And yes, Mr. Helfrich and I, we have a lot of fun friends that we do a lot of fun things together. And it is really cool if you can have your attorney as close to you as you're also spending a lot of time outside of the legal office. That's a good thing too. But here's one of the other great wisdoms that he showed when everybody else just didn't have a clue. Mr. Helfrich's a great listener. He's good at processing things. And he can ask a very simple question that if everyone else would have asked me the same question, they wouldn't be stressing out all the time about what is he doing next. He had kind of heard about this idea of someday a golf course, backyard, synthetic turf, aquatics, golf balls. Mr. Helfrich doesn't even play golf. He may come out someday and may maybe help us caddy, but he's not a big golfer. As this idea of the golf course was shaping, changing, redesigning, it was a long-term thing that he heard a couple snippets of here or there. There were individuals who got so emotional about this golf course that they let their emotions interfere with their intellect. And what do I mean by that? Sometimes people get so emotional about an idea and know so little They know so little about the idea that they allow their emotions to over empower, destroy their intelligence. They can become a little unsmart because emotionally there's no way in the world John should ever, can ever, will ever be able to do this. Even though years later they found out that when they were emotional about it, that the course was 90% done, to the point for a couple of these individuals, yes, two tee boxes on this course are named after them because they allowed their emotions to interfere with their intellect. Because both of these ladies were kind of smart. They just kind of got unsmart for a short period of time. We'll share with that more. So many dynamics, so many nuances about this course that you're starting to hear about, that the people I listened to were the smartest people I knew. I would tell a lot of people, but their opinions didn't always resonate well because I could tell they didn't process what they were hearing or seeing, and they didn't really have any idea what was happening through the process. Not Mr. Helfrich. Mr. Helfrich, who knew enough about it, he only had to ask one question. So John, you're building this golf course. You've been building it for 30 years. You've got all this time, money, effort, excitement, happiness. You've got 1,000 dreams in it. You've got 1,000 dreams that haven't even come true yet. If you could never, ever play another day on this course, if you could not make a dime off of this private exclusivity golf course for the rest of your life, would you still finish it? Amazing question. Resounding, absolutely, Jeff. I would still finish it, realizing it may never, ever be 100% finished. But he asked the question that no one else was even near smart enough to ask. Everyone was so caught up in all of the potential negatives of this course, all of the things that could be bad, when they didn't realize how many days, thousands of hours I've played on this course already, dreaming of the day my grandchildren will play on the course. In fact, you'll get to see my 1.5-year-old grandson, his first time on one of the new greens. Jeff was wise enough to realize that a 30-year dream, one day at a time, has already fulfilled in me the amazing aspects this course has. He wasn't looking at the future of what could happen 10, 20, 50, 100 years from now on this golf course. That didn't matter to him. What mattered to him was the perfect question. If absolutely another day could never be enjoyed on this golf course, if all of your ideas of exclusivity golf or fundraising or foundations or all the different things this location has been for you, because yes, he had been to many of our events that we've had over the years. If you, John, could not have a single dime of income, if you could not legally have another day on this golf course, would you still build it? I remember when he asked me the question, and inside I'm just like, finally someone wise enough who understands me well enough and has known me for 50 plus years. He was the only one that processed this whole thing and could ask that simple question. So as I'm walking around the course today, the throwing the axes, feeding the fish, doing 100 different things by 7 a.m. in the morning, I had to think of him. Don't sign anything before I read it, or I will kick your butt. And if this course didn't give you one more day of pleasure, would you still build it? Mr. Helfrich Condies Diamond Con. Gentlemen, I've had a couple margaritas with. Wasn't the guy that got me those $1 million checks in the mail. Still don't have the yacht. Luckily for me, he calls me and I get to go out on his on occasion. May not be a yacht, but it's close enough for me. Your great attorney is going to be the person who year in and year out keeps you from going to the mailbox and getting that surprise letter from someone that says, oh, by the way, you missed that part on page 27, paragraph 4. 5C, here's what you owe us. So whether you have a multi-million dollar business or you've just finished that customized trailer that at the age of 21, you now are going to go out there and you're going to build the world, right? You're ready to build the world. If you don't have an individual who has got your back by being able to read the fine print, or you don't have that individual who can write you a contract that on your page 27, paragraph 4, line 5B, you can maybe put something in your contract that maybe another business owner isn't going to read, or he's not going to give it to his attorney. And then the next thing you know, you have $130,000 to $150,000 worth of materials that just fell in your lap that you could maybe, do some landscaping. So today, I love my attorney. I love my grandchild, at the age of 1.5. He was the first one to actually play on the new green. I love my God. I love my country. But if you really, truly want to build a business over many, many, many years, and you keep putting off that moment where I know I need to get an attorney at some time, take my advice. Take Mr. Helfrich's advice. And until you get that new attorney, don't sign any contracts for your business. And if they ask, why can't you sign this contract? You say, because John Schrader, Jeff Helfrich, or somebody will kick my arse if I sign this before he reads it. That is the sentence today that Trespassing Aloud is sending to you. Get that attorney. We're going to talk about a good accountant later. We're going to talk about that group of advisors that I'm going to send your way. But today, my walk was all about Mr. Helfrich. I can't remember if we ever did actually wrestle in an actual match. We'll have to ask him sometime. But Mr. Helfrich, here's to you. I would love to have a margarita with you sometime. We like a margarita every once in a while. But to you, Mr. Helfrich, one of the smartest men I have ever known, one of the wisest individuals who understood me probably better than most anyone else I had ever known. But the guy that gave me a simple sentence that has saved me so much money and so much stress, so much turmoil. I slept so well for so many years because I didn't have to worry about that envelope that was going to come in the mail because I didn't read that page as well as I should have. Get out there, start that business, be patient, listen to the podcast. I promise there will be more. And just enjoy your day. But today, it's all about Mr. Jeffrey Helfrich. Look him up. He's a great bird photographer, and he is one of these guys that he has seen more wild animals in the world than most anybody I know. But one of the wildest animals, one of the silliest animals, one of the happiest animals he has ever run into, just decided to start a podcast. And for that, he still is shaking his head.